And welcome into Wildcat Insider, the final Wildcat Insider of the 2016-2017 school year. Unfortunately, I've got no sidekick today. Wyatt Thompson not able to be with me. We will have him via the phone at 5:10, so you will hear Wyatt's thoughts on the spring game, a 38-6 win for the Purple. And a lot to talk about there. We got a chance to see a lot of young guys with 13, 14 guys held out of this game, some starters that did not play. I'm going to let you hear from a lot of the hot names from the spring game today. Coming up at 4:25, Mike McCoy, what he had to say, the big bruising running back that we got a chance to see quite a bit. At 5:25, it'll be Skylar Thompson, the freshman quarterback, redshirt freshman that is, who I thought was pretty impressive. More on that in just a moment. And then at 5:40, one of the guys that he may be throwing to for a long time here at K-State uniform, Carlos Strickland. Had a really good conversation with him. That will be, once again, at 5:40. As always, you can tweet your questions or comments to the game, KMAN, as you have them throughout the show. You can also call us here on Wildcat Insider, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. We will recap all the spring game here on the show today. Also, though, looking at exiting spring and what's going to happen with K-State football in 2017, seeing where the expectations are at after the spring game. In light of that, I did put out a poll today on Twitter and retweeted it from the game KMAN. You can also see it at my Twitter account, JL Kurtz. But coming out of spring, if I put the over-under on K-State wins at 9.5, bowl game, Big 12 title game included, because I feel like people would assume one or both of those could be in the Wildcats' future. You take the over or under on 9.5 wins. That seems like about where the expectation level is right now, much higher than it was last year, certainly. So attack that poll question. Right now, the results pretty lopsided one way, but I'll check in on that as we roll on throughout the show. You're going to hear plenty from Coach Schneider as well. What he had to say after the spring game, he was fairly forthcoming with players, not so forthcoming with information about himself. But this was a game where he got a chance to watch a lot of some of the younger players, and he does not make any excuses, obviously, for not having upwards of 5 starters on the offensive side of the ball. But as we discussed going into this game, in some ways, that was a benefit in disguise, a blessing in disguise for the team, just to get a chance to look at so many young players and get guys other reps. Basically, the list of guys that were out that were significant, if you missed that in the game, obviously Jesse Ertz on offense, Reed Niver, Dalton Reisner, so 2 of your 5 starting offensive linemen. Also down Dominique Heath and Byron Pringle, 2 wide receivers. And then on the defensive side of the ball, probably the most disappointing thing was not getting a chance to see Daquan Patton, who we had heard so much about, the linebacker transfer, the junior college transfer that K-State snuck away after he decommitted from Cal. There was obviously no Will Geary. And then Elijah Sullivan, another linebacker that's athletic and a pretty high-profile recruit that K-State landed a few years ago, he was not able to go, which was disappointing. Davis Clark, a defensive end, held out as well. So that really did limit what we saw as far as a lot of the veteran players. That was a much different-looking team than what K-State is actually going to look like when the time comes around in the fall. But as far as things were concerned, and this was another theory that I had going into the game, was that when you have so many starters out, so many ones out, it doesn't matter quite as much probably that you're playing ones v twos technically, which of course is what the format wound up being for the spring game, because there's just so much mixing and matching going on both sides of the ball. But one thing Bill Snyder did point out after the game was just that he felt like the white team, being comprised mainly of twos and threes, actually held their own pretty darn well, especially for the first 3 quarters.
I was encouraged by the whites, you know, the way they played for the first 3 quarters, defensively in particular. But, you know, they had some movement on offense as well against our number one defense. So, you know, it tells me one of two things, and I'll decipher it a little bit more when I go back and review the tape. But tells me that I'm concerned about, you know, our number one offense, although they're, you know, missing those guys, but that doesn't make any difference.
And Bill Snyder, I think you would expect him to say something to that effect. You know, a spring game, he's always maintained, is a tough thing for him because as a coach and a guy with such a critical eye like he has, you know, you're going to be disappointed one way or the other depending on what happens in the spring game. But my personal opinion, I mean, I come away more encouraged by the fact that the twos actually hung in there for a while because You know, in particular, he went on to talk about the offensive struggles, punching it in. The number one offense had a tough time on a couple occasions punching it in inside the red zone. And to me, that just makes me more encouraged about the depth on defense than anything else. I mean, this offense is going to be completely different. Not that Alex Delton was bad. I thought he was a mixed bag and did show some positive signs, but he's not going to be the quarterback. He will be a luxury. Maybe they develop some kind of a package for him once the season rolls around, but it's going to be Jesse Ertz. You're going to have the full complement of offensive linemen, which I think is probably a big reason why they did have some struggles handing it off three times in a row to Justin Silliman there on the goal line at one point in time during that spring game. So to me, that becomes more of a positive than anything else, because I don't think we're too worried about the offense ultimately here. And as we can see by the way the poll question is going right now, I think people feel good about the offense no matter what really we saw in the spring game, which for the most part, it was a fairly vanilla game. I would definitely grant you that. But there, you know, if you want to parse through some of this stuff, I think it was fun to get to see a lot of the young guys. We're going to talk throughout the show about some of these young guys. You'll hear from a lot of them. But just to recap, some of the performances that we did see, Skylar Thompson was at the top of that list, I would say, for most people. In the spring game, he goes 10 for 17, 112 yards, and an interception. He also carried the ball 15 times, and I thought looked like a capable enough runner. I think people always assume he's just all about the big arm, which we definitely saw, and saw early on that hookup with Corey Sutton, which may have been the best ball that was thrown the entire game by anybody. But he seems like a capable enough runner as well. I mean, you can definitely see why people are so excited about Skylar Thompson after watching that football game. Alex Delton, he was up and down. The two interceptions are disappointing, but he did complete 21 passes, 21 of 33, 249 yards, a touchdown to go along with that, and 78 yards rushing, including that touchdown at the very end of the game. The final horn sounded as Alex Delton ran it in for a touchdown, so that's sort of exemplary of his spirit that they always talk about. He is a competitor and a very competitive guy and wanted to get in the end zone there at the end of the game. I thought Carlos Strickland was pretty impressive as well. You can see the length and the size that he has. It's going to be a valuable asset as a possession-type receiver. He had a tremendous diving catch and wound up with four catches for 62 yards. Mike McCoy's numbers were not terribly impressive when you just look at nine carries for 15 net yards, but he did gain 25 positive yards, had some negative rushes in there, and I think the biggest thing you saw was that 112-yard carry that he had where he just broke tackle after tackle. Was pretty impressive, and that is what he can be. I don't think you expect him at this point in his career to be necessarily all that consistent. And then, you know, probably the other guy that you point out was Bronson Massey, a defensive end, who Wyatt, I remember him talking last week about Bronson Massey at the end. We don't speak of him as much because we haven't seen him. We've seen the Davis Clarks of the world. Obviously, we've seen the Reggie Walkers of the world and the Tanner Woods of the world on K-State's football team, but Bronson Massey redshirted last year. He had two sacks on one side, one sack on the other side, so he did it against, you know, basically any offensive tackle that K-State was putting out there, and that is very good to see, especially if K-State is going to be a little more thin at defensive tackle with Will Geary's status somewhat up in the air, although Bill Snyder said after the game he does expect Will Geary to be back. So those really, to me, were the highlights of what we saw in the spring game from some of the young players. There were a lot of receivers that got a chance to catch some balls. Nine receivers caught passes in this game. And, well, I thought guys like Strickland did show something. Corey Sutton early on was really good as well. Bill Snyder actually seemed pretty disappointed with the wide receivers when he was talking after the game.
The ability to get yourself open. You know, we had. You think back and you look at the ball game and say, how many times did quarterback pull the ball down and bring it out? You know, how many scrambles were there? You know, bounce him out and throw the ball late. Way too many. And the protection was good today. Now, you know, the game is pure vanilla. I mean, there's, you know, you don't show anything. There's no, I mean, a whole bunch of offense and defense, both. I mean, they're just very, very basic in what they did. But by the same token, you know, you got your receivers got to work and get themselves open, and that didn't happen today as much as it should.
Well, Bill Snyder's right. There was a lot of scrambling by the quarterbacks. They were having to bail out. And, again, this is another point where if you're Bill Snyder, you have to take this into account, and you're going to want those guys to be able to perform and produce no matter what. But you were missing your top two receivers. I mean, Byron Pringle and Dominique Keith are your top two wide receivers. I think things become a lot easier for those guys if they're playing. It makes the offense much different. So, to me, that tells you that some of those defensive backs did a nice job, and maybe a lot of the wide receivers where, you know, the depth trickled on down to those guys that were playing with the ones. Maybe they do have some work to do, but I still think we saw flashes of what they can be, and you know you have two reliable guys that are going to come back that did not play in the game. Now, one other thing that I will cover here just in the opening segment, because I think it was what a lot of people focused on throughout the game and certainly after the game when we started to learn a little bit more about this. Bill Steiner did not watch the second half of the game from the sideline. He all of a sudden was not there for the second half. We learned later that he had gone up to the coaches' boxes, up in the press box to watch the second half. I think we all assume it is probably taking it easy after his cancer diagnosis and treatment that has now wrapped up, and the recovery process here is a difficult thing to go through. But, man, as stubborn as ever, Bill Steiner did not really want to give much up as far as what the explanation was for him sitting up there in the press box, because when he was asked, it was Sam Mellinger, the Kansas City Star, that asked him after the game in the postgame press conference. He had a pretty quick-witted response for why he was up in the press box.
Don't be curious. Always a reason for something.
So we can read between the lines. I think about this all we want. I actually love that Bill Steiner answered the question that way. That was a very good Bill Steiner response to that type of question. But all in all, I came away fairly encouraged by what we saw at the spring game. I was not really surprised by a whole lot necessarily. And it was just nice to get a look at some of the young guns. That's what we anticipated going in. I think frontline guys are going to be fine. This team is headed for very big things this year. And we got a chance to see the depth on display at the 2017 spring game. Again, a lot of player audio coming up in hour two. Skylar Thompson at 5:25. I think you'll be impressed by him, as well as Carlos Strickland, who shared some interesting info about being healthier now than he was during his time at Cal. But when we come back, Mike McCoy, the running back out at Topeka High, that has a lot of people excited. A big dude weighing 235 pounds. What's the main criticism, though, that Mike McCoy is hearing from the coaches? He'll tell you next here on Wildcat Insider.